The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about stewardship of self, of behaving in ways that are faithful and ways that serve the world, but don't necessarily cost us time, talent, or treasure. Maybe God has revealed to you some new ways in these last couple of weeks, ways for you individually or we collectively as Emmanuel Lutheran Church, to be the kind of people or the kind of congregation that God needs right here in High Point. Somehow, it seems that the church often misses the mark when talking about money, about tithing, about offerings. Somewhere, there must be a sweet spot, which maybe we're yet to find, between guilt and shame and about how God has given us everything and we ungrateful losers never give enough, and not talking about it at all, because it makes people uncomfortable, and if you make people uncomfortable, they might leave the church. So you ignore it. Or at least if you do talk about it, you talk about it apologetically, and you just make sure you walk on eggshells about it. It seems that we should be able to do better than that. The men in the text today are ready to trip Jesus up, and so what better way than to talk about money? They ask him to talk about money that will either make the government, the emperor mad, or God mad. So let's not make the mistake of thinking that this is a 20th or 21st century problem. This talking about money in the church has never been easy. The Pharisees send some of their disciples to ask Jesus about paying taxes to the government, and this government is occupying their land. So it is kind of complicated, right? Should we support the government that's oppressing us? Do we give the resources that God has given us to someone besides the church? And Jesus says, give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. So then the next question is, well, what's God's? Oh, just everything. That sounds simple, but it's so not simple. When everything belongs to God, when everything we have is ours to borrow or to manage or to steward, but it all belongs to God, then every cup of coffee we buy becomes a question of faith. There is nothing simple about that. If I can't buy a cup of coffee, or for me, a cup of tea, thank you very much, without experiencing a faith crisis, then I will not live in any sort of comfort. And a life with no comfort does not sound like an abundant life. And Jesus says he came so that we might have abundant life. So then I have to struggle and wonder, then what does abundance mean? And for whom? It can't just be for me. I don't get to just to say that Jesus came that I might have abundant life. It always has to be the collective we, which makes everything more complicated. It's never just me. So seriously, this talk about money and faith and God and resources and time and talent and treasure, it is hard. It does make us squirm, and that's okay because we can do hard things. We can do it together. We are safe in God's love and in this congregation to struggle with the balance between want and need, to struggle with what is enough and what is excess. What is abundance for me and what is abundance for all of us? I didn't do this little tithing activity at the beginning of the service to make us feel guilty. I'm so tired of that. It's just perspective. It's just a visual. But 10%, it is a number that we hear a lot. And it's also just a number, and it only means something in context. If I have, like I said earlier, if I have 10 eggs for me who lives alone, that's several meals. But if I have a big family, it's not several meals. Or if I have, like I said, a million eggs, how many can I share? Can I bring abundance to other people with more than 10% of what I have? If I can live with faithful abundance, with a home and enough food and clothing and money for health care, if I can live with faithful abundance and still give away 40% of what I have, then is 10% faithful? Each of us is a whole life, and maybe with a family and lots of responsibilities. Each of us is a context. So a prescription of a certain percent or a certain number might be a faithful place to start. It's a faithful place to start a conversation about money, but it's not enough to make a faithful decision. Because it's faithful. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about living out our baptisms, those promises that we make, that we will work for justice in the world God loves. It's about actually being honest about what we need. And it's a journey. Every year is different. Our income every year is different. Our output every year is different. This year we were sick. This year we weren't. This year we had an empty nest. This year we had college kids. Every year is different. So I'm your pastor, and it's stewardship time. And we are talking about money, whether we like it or not. But we won't simplify it down to some equation or formula. We will not use shame as a motivator. We will keep studying God's word. We will be in Christian fellowship with one another, in conversation. We will attend to our prayer lives and be honest with ourselves and God in that prayer. We will have conversations, even if they're hard ones, and work to discern what a faithful offering looks like for us this year. And then we will write it down on a pledge card, not as some ironclad promise we can't change, but as an intention. And we'll bring it here next week and we'll put it in the offering plate, knowing that we have tried to be faithful and praying that God will keep working in us. And God will keep working in us because that's the promise. Amen.